This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, since before the era of the transatlantic slave trade, the arts have been used to confront slavery and honour those who made freedom possible. As an artist who grew up in a culture that was shaped by that particular history, making it part of his work's DNA, Christopher Cozier from Trinidad and Tobago has often drawn attention to the power of the arts to deliver justice. Highlighting the importance of creativity as a force for change in societies where people were viewed first and foremost as property, Mr. Cozier highlights the self-worth process that led slaves to become full citizens. He was at UN headquarters in New York earlier in the year to remember the victims of slavery in the transatlantic slave trade and spoke to UN News' Anna Carmo.
I'm an artist, you know, I'm not necessarily a politician or an activist. Of course, I grew up in an environment, in a culture that was shaped by that particular history. So I think it's kind of part of the DNA of my work. There are things that are interesting to me now, but to be honest, I was a little dumbfounded by the request, because there are certain historians I admire. But I think artists sometimes have a different take. And I think, creativity has a particular importance in societies where, you know, people enter as property and they have to kind of go through a process of political shifts and developments to become people or citizens. So I think a history of slavery really heightens questions around citizenship and participation and self-worth. I think it's an interesting challenge to kind of talk about those things.
How do you place your work in the narrative of the arts having been used to confront slavery since the time of the transatlantic slave trade?
I mean, I have referred to it in elements of my work. I have been... one of the sort of earliest examples was a project I did where I used an image from a wanted poster from the time of slavery, and I called it Going North, because in that body of work, which was done starting in the late 90s and took off during the course of the 2000s, it was looking at people going north and about itinerancy and people on the move, crossing borders and things like that. So I use that image of the sort of runaway slave from a poster. It's an iconic image. There was even a conference some years later where one or two other artists were using the same image. So they brought us all together at Northwestern in Chicago to talk about our interests in these images from that period. I think that conference was called Out of Sight, and it was organized by Krista Thompson and Huey Copeland. And that image, to me, underscored, when I first started using it, I was trying to find a new way of understanding images from history books that I had grown up with. And then it evolved into this conversation about migration and the movement of people and capital and things like that. But it inferred, you know, or sort of referred to, you know, the origin of our societies, you know.
You were mentioning that artists have sometimes a different take on what's happening around the world.
Yeah, because I think, recently I did a project in the Emirates, and it really struck me, working on the project there, that, like myself, the artist that was brought there to do this, most of the other people working on the project were people from elsewhere, you know, people that came there to work. And then it brings up all kinds of questions about what are the conditions under which they work, what are the prospects for citizenship and belonging, you know, and these kinds of things. So when you come from a place like the Caribbean with that particular history, when you travel, you find yourself asking certain questions about places, or certain things occur to you that others might take completely for granted, you know. So yes, it's kind of something. In fact, the project I was working on, the theme had to do with a statement that Marcus Garvey had said, who was one of the founders of Pan-Africanism, look for me all around you. And the curator chose that particular theme because it was talking about, you know, how he himself, his project ended at that moment, but the echo and the resonance of his project continues up to this day. So, and it came from the fact that he was radicalized working for the United Fruit Company in Costa Rica, and then, you know, as an imported laborer himself, and measuring the time, you know, of the other workers and so on.
I'm curious to understand a little bit more about the weight that you feel, you as an artist coming from the Caribbean, because you don't like as many artists don't like to be labeled as mm-hmm. like a Caribbean artist, but mm-hmm. obviously that has shaped you as an artist mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the role of the place where you come from on your art specifically?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Caribbean artists and thinkers have had quite an impact globally. If it's not poets, you know, sort of writers and history writers and theory writers, whether it's someone like Stuart Hall or C.L.R. James, novelists like Naipaul, poets like Walcott. I'm talking from an English Caribbean point of view. Of course, there are people in the Spanish and French territories. You know, Glissant, you know, is very popular now in the kind of art world. And all of them have brought up ideas coming out of that particular experience that have had impact on other societies. So it's a two-way street, you know. Coming from the Caribbean sort of becomes a way of engaging the world based on a particular experience. And the thing that is very significant to our experience is that we began as sort of like almost like labor camps of Europe, you know, during the Enlightenment, ironically, you know, the road to the Enlightenment, you know, these little islands, people were transported there to work, but not as people, you know, as property. And that's quite a unique, phenomena in terms of, you know, world history and different times in history and so on. In the time of Shiga, and it's very interesting. And how do these societies now evolve into civil places is a big question that's ongoing.
Can you talk a little bit more on what's the role today in the issues that we are struggling with today in the society? Mm-hmm. And maybe talk a little bit about the video that you also shared with us, the Gas Man, on how that spoke to you in terms of the environmental changes in the society.
Yeah, the Gas Man, it was a strange project. I was thinking a lot. I mean, Trinidad is an oil economy. When people think of the Caribbean, they don't often think about oil. And in 2014, I was on a residency in Chicago, and I was walking on Lake Michigan, and sometimes you get these distortions of place. You know, if you're walking on Lake Michigan, the beach almost looks like the Caribbean. The water looked kind of green. I was walking in sand, and then suddenly an ice block went by because it was sort of like at the beginning of spring. But so there was still some ice, and I wanted to talk. And at the time, I was thinking about oil and oil economies, and about things that I was reading in the media, and Trinidad is an oil economy as well. And so I worked very instinctively, and I suddenly had this idea that I wanted men in suits to be on the beach with gas pumps. And I tried to work with actors, it didn't work. I tried to, you know, and then I just got regular office workers and gave them the gas pumps and told them just wear, you know, make sure you keep your suit on. And then they started doing all these gestures on the beach. But then when I looked at the footage afterwards, they were just playing around. I realized that it could be anywhere. You know, it could be Mexico, it could be Nigeria, it could be Venezuela, it could be Trinidad, any shoreline. It became a neutral shoreline. And then it started to talk about people competing for resources. You know, men in suits, like samurais or cowboys fighting. So the symbolism of it took on much wider. And then I thought of myself as an artist moving in that global economy as well, you know, putting out signs. So it just kind of one thing led to another. And in fact, very often with my work, I stage things, stage events, and then film them and then sort of put them out there. And then the dialogues that come back to me, it latches on to things. You know, it's a little bit like a you know, that spur in the forest when you're moving through, it sticks to your pants, you know. Ideas stick to the images. And I learn and I share and, you know, and that's how my work. So it starts very instinctively. I didn't know in the beginning exactly why walking on Lake Michigan made me feel like getting men. Some 2 or 3 years before, I spent time in Iowa, and I went on a corn farm, and I was thinking about the scale of the industrial farming. And then I realized, how do you get gas if you live out there? And I saw gas pumps knocking around, and I asked the person, how do you get, you can order them. So in Chicago, I was able to order a gas pump, something so ubiquitous. You know, you see it, you stop in a gas station. I didn't know you could actually order one online and bring it home and hold it in your hand. And then ideas came from that, You know, so it's a sort of weird process of moving and thinking and responding to things. Ideas come up along the way. Yeah. You know.
What's the main message that you hope to bring today to the UN?
Well, the two things I think about. The Caribbean is a place that, as I said, we entered as property. We kind of became subjects of the crown. And then we are kind of evolving now to a conversation about citizenship and participation. So that's a hell of a journey in a relatively short space of time, in a very small place with people from various ethnicities. I mean, it started, of course, with the transplantation of people from Africa. But I think that experience has really impacted upon how people relate to each other, how we become mindful of things, you know, how we can express empathy. What's our relationship to each other, to the environment, and all those things. So it's not just about ethnicity. It's about coming from a place where both bodies and the land were exploited for capital gain. And then it's kind of ironic that a place like that, so many important writers, musicians, thinkers, you know, have evolved. So obviously the struggle to be a person, to be an individual and to kind of engage the world is some sort of political response or personal response to such a kind of bizarre moment in history. It's been a catalyst. So you can sort of be on one side and say, oh, yeah, we've suffered. And then on the other side, you can say, but look how much we've accomplished or have done and how influential we have been for such a small place on a global level.